Hear ye, hear ye. Welcome one, welcome all to episode 6 of the Laser Guided Melodies Music Review Podcast. Hosted by me, Lauren James, and featuring the analytical insight and frenzied rants of Ed Biggs.
Hello.
And boy, do we have a rant on our hands this time. Yes, more of that later. This week, we'll be bringing you some new snippets, clips of the new tracks by Friendly Fires and the Kooks. And hand-picked reviews of major album releases by The War on Drugs, Faster the People, Sky Ferrero Rocher, and Skrillex. Then we'll round off with the Get Ready to Feel Old section, also known as the Anniversaries, where we'll take a look at De La Soul's seminal 1989 debut, 3 Feet High and Rising. And also, we'll have Mad Villain's self-titled album that recently turned 10. As always, you can find us on Twitter at LG Melodies, or on Facebook, or of course by typing laser guided melodies.co.uk. Where, Ed?
Into the address bar.
Indeed. This is imperative. As so we'll follow the town crier tradition and start off with the news. The big news this week, Kate Bush has announced a 15-night residency at the Hammersmith Apollo in London beginning in August the 26th. It's going to be expensive. It's going to sell out. Ed, are you going to buy a ticket?
Well, we've got to try. It's going to we'll be once in a lifetime. First time she's toured in 35 years since she broke through with Wuthering Heights in 1979.
Someone said it's her second ever tour. Is that true?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, absolutely. Got rave reviews the first time round from anybody's out there who can remember that.
I know a lot of people who are very excited about this news. It's going to be mega. The Reading
just,
and Leeds...
Just wow.
Yeah. Yeah. The Reading and Leeds headliners and main acts have been confirmed. If you haven't heard, it's Queens of the Stone Age headlining alongside Paramore, Arctic Monkeys and Blink 182. Again, as it has
Hang on, I think we should separate that. It's Queens of the Stone Age / Paramore is one of the headliners. Yeah. And then...
They're sharing the headline slot.
Arctic Monkeys
and Blink 182.
Who did
that a few years ago? Pulp and...
Oh, The Strokes.
The Strokes, that's it, yeah. Was that in 2011, I believe? Yes.
Yeah.
As it has been accused of in recent years, many have said that it's too safe in some quarters.
Well, the thing is with this is that there are only ultimately about 15 or so bands that can actually headline events this big, so the pool from which talent can be reasonably selected is about as big as it was, and it consists of the same bands as it did in 2010, and you are just seeing the same ones getting recycled.
The usual Reading and Leeds bores. For example, Jimmy Eat World, The Hives, and Shikari, and You, Me at Six. Just, I don't think there's a year where that bunch haven't done it.
They're always on it. They're always clogging up room for new important acts. Well,
and good bands, especially live, but we want to see new stuff.
You have to look in the second stage, in order to see bands that are, you know, actually might make something of themselves in the years to come. But the sub-headliners, they have actually taken a bit of a risk on, I think. Jake Bugg, particularly, he'll be sub-headlining behind the Arctic Monkeys. That does seem like quite a big promotion.
Yeah, definitely. I'm not
after only two
sure.
albums.
Yeah.
But Macklemore and Ryan Lewis seems to be a bit mysterious.
Huge in America. Hardly known, really, here in the UK, I'd say. You know, they need to build up their presence in this country before they can have an impact on a stage as... you know, coveted as the Reading and Leeds.
Then again, throw them into the deep end, I say. See what happens. It's the only, it's the only way these bands ever actually get to do this kind of thing.
Yeah.
But Vampire Weekend seems to make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Behind
Macklemore and Ryan Lewis do put on a good show, if anyone's seen footage from the Grammys where they played. And it's worth mentioning that the tent headliners, which are always interesting to catch, are this year... The Cortinas, nah. Bombay Bicycle Club, and Disclosure.
Woohoo!
Wow. Yeah, no comment.
Sorry, I don't know how that came out.
Just, again, quite predictable, but they're probably going to draw quite big crowds. You know, there's going to be less of a monopoly on the big stages this year.
Exactly. Next news item, the Happy Mondays backup dancer / maracas player / general lunatic Bez has announced that he's to run as an independent candidate for the Salford constituency at the next general election.
Yay!
He says that the current government is bought and paid for by the banking system and wants a self-sufficient agricultural lifestyle introduced to the national curriculum.
Perfect. You know, I can't think of any more reason to vote for him.
And Alan McGee, the founder of Creation Records, is going to be his campaign advisor, apparently.
Oh, it's enough reason to relocate to Salford. From the sound of your tone, you're not that impressed.
Well, okay, it's a slight gimmick. He's an independent candidate in a very, very safe Labour seat. He might come a distant second at best. There's no reason whatsoever why he couldn't beat the Conservatives or the Liberal Democrats.
I think there's enough ill feeling against politicians and bankers in this country at the moment that, you know, the good people of Salford will go, you know what, hell yes, I'm voting for Bez, I don't care. You know, it's either that or I throw my vote away.
I doubt it. You can't really gauge the popularity of an independent candidate in a seat as safe as Salford. Mm.
Yeah.
Anyway, maybe. Sorry, this isn't a politics podcast. This is a music
it
podcast.
It could be.
So, next bit of news, Laura.
This is interesting. 97-year-old Vera Lynn has announced the release of a new album on June the 6th. Therefore, this will be the 70th anniversary of the D-Day landings, history nerds.
Well, it's not history nerds. That should be common knowledge.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yes, but it's going to feature not only some of her famous wartime songs, but also some previously unreleased tracks that her daughter Virginia recently discovered. So,
so those who don't know Vera Lynn, who is she, Ed?
She was basically, you know, the forces' sweetheart for, you know, for the British forces during the Second World War. If we had modern chart statistics, we would show her to be very popular.
But this leads on to our next piece of news.
Yes. This release is partly brought on by the publication by the British Charts Association of the so-called missing charts that date back from 1952, which is when the first official UK singles chart was released, all the way back to 1940. Basically, the Charts Association have been chasing up independent record stores and asking them to go through their vaults in order to track sales of 7-inch singles in order to ascertain how popular they were. So now we effectively have a chart that dates back to 1940. And they've discovered that Vera Lynn had the first number one record with We'll Meet Again, which is a song that pretty much you could walk up to anybody in the street and they'd be able to sing it to you. Up until now, there were only American charts covering this period. So Vera Lynn features, but not very heavily. She didn't make that big an impact in America. But the data has taken probably nearly a decade to collect.
That's incredible.
I should imagine.
It's an incredible body of work that's really needed for us to understand the contemporary, you know, the pop music history of this country.
Yeah, you've never really been able to measure it before, basically.
Just say how so-and-so was big in the 40s. Now we have evidence of that.
Yeah, and you can compare them against modern artists. And Vera Lynn has, she had between 1940 and 1945, 40 top 25 hits.
That's insane.
Which I think, to my memory, only someone like Depeche Mode can actually rival in terms of sheer volume.
Yeah, so, wow.
So that's the end of the news section. We're on to the new tracks that have been out in the last 2 weeks. What do we have first, Lauren?
Well, you're right, Ed. Number one, we have Friendly Fires Before Your Eyes, which is their first release in 3 years.
So you were just listening to Friendly Fire's first song in 3 years, which is called Before Your Eyes. Lauren, what do you think?
Interesting. Very different. Slightly psychedelic. I don't know what the word is for the percussion. What would you say?
Well, motoric. Yeah. It kind of derives from krautrock, like Can and Neu.
Definitely recalled the horrors on songs like Moving Further Away.
Sea Within a Sea. And
yeah. I don't know. I thought it could have done more. It was 8 minutes of pretty much the same.
It's clearly not designed to
be. Could
have
been a lot shorter.
A single, and I suspect it's not actually going to be on whatever new album they actually finally release. It
probably not going to be like their new album either.
It just seems to me like they're kind of clearing the decks and before they move on to something else.
Cleaning the pipes.
It's going to be a double A sided sort of a 12-inch release for Record Store Day. With a song called Velo on the other side. Ed McFarlane, the lead singer of Friendly Fires, has been saying that they've been aiming to do something like this. And while it will be surprising to fans of Friendly Fires, fans of Friendly Fires, who knows what it will do. Anyway, next track we've got is one of the funniest things I've heard in years. If you can remember the Kooks, and I'm sure you can, you might remember
sorry
them.
Sorry if it's a disturbing memory for you.
Yeah, you might remember them unpleasantly. But this song, I think you'll find, is very different. It's called Down. It's not confirmed to be on a new album as yet, but we're going to play it from the start.
I think you'll find it's quite different.
Yeah. What do you think? Here's a clip.
I'm hitting around town. There's a rumor, baby, you're planning to bring me down, down, diggy, down, 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 diggy, down, down, diggy, down, down.
So that was the Kooks, Down. All I've got to say to that is, everybody get down! Luke Pritchard thinks he's Muddy Waters,
he's
basically.
He's become the pub singer.
Yes, he is Vic Reeves' club singer from Shooting Stars, isn't he? Stupid, get down.
No.
Get down. Oh, dear. I'm sorry, Luke Pritchard, and any other Kooks fan out there, but this is the most ridiculous song I've heard in years. You've got to credit them with doing something different, but it is absolutely ridiculous and sounds absolutely nothing like the Kooks at all. What do you think, Laura?
It's masterful. It's hilarious, record
certainly.
Producers going, oh yeah, Luke, that sounds amazing.
Oh yeah, that's quality, yeah.
Yeah, oh, that's great.
I'm still reeling with shock and laughter.
Shock and laughter. Shock and awe. I don't know what to say. So, any final thoughts to put on this?
No. No, I can't think of anything, but get down! So, now on to some new album releases over the last couple of weeks. What have we got first, Lauren?
First up is Foster the People's Supermodel, which is out now. This lead track that we have selected is called Coming of Age.
So that was Foster the People's Coming of Age from their second album, Supermodel. What did you reckon, Lauren?
I really liked the vibe of that song.
Can't really remember what it sounds like, can you? I don't blame you. It is one of the most forgettable songs I've ever heard in my life. And it comes from a forgettable album.
I've never connected with Foster the People particularly. I'm not sure, it's made me really philosophical. Why does one album turn me on and another one does absolutely nothing?
Well, it's because you have good taste and Foster the People does nothing for you.
Oh, thank you. Well,
Matt Langham, one of our resident scribes, took the duty of writing out this one. He gave it a middling 5 out of 10. He felt its ambition overstretched its reach. And I kind of understand what he's saying. I've listened to the album 3 times now, and I honestly can't remember anything that happens in that album. It just washes over you in a massive wave of forgettableness.
Could do better.
But you do get the feeling that, yeah, they're trying to get something quite conceptual going in there, and it just doesn't work. I can't imagine that the fans of Pumped Up Kicks, you know, that inescapable song from the summer of 2011, I don't think they'll be getting anything from this album. They'll be like, well, what's this? What's happened to Foster the People? What's happened to our band?
Yeah.
And considering they were so derided by the so-called serious music critics at the time, they're not going to be well disposed towards it either. So I don't really see what Foster the People are trying to achieve here. It's admirable that they're trying, but I agree with Matt that the ambition exceeds their ability to actually achieve it.
Wow.
It's not a bad album, it's just very forgettable.
That's even worse than being bad. Because at least the bad ones get remembered.
Is it? Well, we'll see later when we get to reviewing a certain album by a certain COD dubstep artist, weren't we?
I wonder who that could be. Next up, we have The War on Drugs and their album Lost in the Dream, which is out now. The first single that we've selected from this album is called Under the Pressure. When I come down here, was Under the Pressure by The War on Drugs. This is their third album and seems they can only get better. Ed, I remember you saying that you've seen them before live and you weren't impressed.
My friend and I saw them at Latitude in 2011, about the same time as they did their last album, Slave Ambient. And at the time, I really wasn't into this kind of music. It's very hazy and it's quite nondescript on the surface, I think you have to admit. I mean, that song was 9 minutes long. I mean, you only just heard a 40-second clip of it or so.
I'm guessing that it would be a song that would work really well live. We'll have to catch them again when they go on their next tour, whenever that may be. Verdict?
My friend and I, we basically dismissed them at the time, but I texted him when I heard this new album and said we were completely wrong about them. This is just one of the most instantly lovable albums I've heard.
That's big praise.
Easily since Haim's debut, about sort of 9 months ago. The music seemed to take its cues from quite grown-up sources, like the Eagles and sort of 80s drive-time FM rock. Sort of the image you get in your head is like of someone cruising off into the sunset of like some Californian...
In a convertible, yeah.
like landscape.
Yeah.
And, but it just has this hazy, psychedelic quality to it that you just can't pin down. These songs, they start off in like a defined place and they get to the point quite quickly, but then they take their time, they meander, they kind of get lost in themselves and they either return to their starting point or they just stay where they are, they go as they please. It's
a jam, really.
What you get the impression of is of a band that's completely at ease with the music it's playing. They don't care what people think of them. I just think it's wonderful. The reviews have been amazing so far. It's got 89 out of 100 on Metacritic so far, which is, if you don't know what Metacritic is, it's an aggregated online source of like what other people have got to say about it. And his voice is amazing, isn't it? It's like it's Dylan-esque, but it's got like it's kind of got a hint of like Jagger's sneer as well.
Multi-influence.
Several of the songs are over 5 minutes long. It's not an accessible album at the start.
I hope that The War on Drugs are listening, because that is some serious praise right there from you.
It's amazing. And the theme at the heart of it is it takes its time to explore. It's all about time and the possibility of exploring possibilities in a world where our time is increasingly taken from us, is full of distractions. It's at ease with all the themes that we find in our sort of, in our modern life. To get
that's
poetical.
That's beautiful.
What did you think?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I didn't... Maybe it's one of those songs that you have to listen to a few times because I didn't connect with it straight away. But then again, we do have very differing music tastes.
I will add the caveat that it does take an experienced ear to get into this sooner.
Experienced ear.
Yeah, I did have to kind of train myself to like the last album. It did take a lot of listening and think, right, okay, well, lots of people have been saying good things about this album. I haven't quite got it, so I need to explore it further. But this one, it was just instantaneous. It unlocked easily. Well, we've been ranting about that for quite a while now.
Yeah.
So next clip we've got for you is from Sky Ferreira. Her debut album, Nighttime, My Time, is finally out in this country, having been released in America back in October of 2013. This is a clip of I Blame Myself.
I Blame Myself. It's says Sky Ferreira in a new song from her eagerly anticipated album, Nighttime, My Time. I wasn't blown away. All I could hear from that was generic pop, but Ed apparently can hear something very different.
Well, it's not a generic pop song. It's a really wonderfully put together pop song with electro influences in the back. The drum beats were kind of crunchy. They weren't clean FM radio friendly.
Yeah.
But that's just the tip of the iceberg. This is by far and away the most accessible and radio friendly moment on what's quite a bold debut album, I have to say. It's been delayed what seems like forever. It was supposed to come out in January 2011, but the singles before it flopped, and so her record label, Parlophone, initially cut the funding for it.
Wow.
And Sky herself wasn't willing to compromise her sound, and so she's had to seek funding from elsewhere in order to finally get this underway.
It's good, don't get me wrong.
It's not representative of the album as a whole.
The opening beat kicked in, I was like, oh yeah, I like this. You know, this is something I haven't heard before. And then, I don't know. I know this. You could say this about a lot of music at the moment, but it feels like the producers went, oh yeah, what's popular at the moment? Well, bubblegum pop's not very popular. Ah yeah, the Drive soundtrack. Yeah, that was good. That was big. That was pop too. So we'll go for that.
No, that's a very cynical interpretation.
It is, but that's why you can definitely hear the, you know, the synth references of it. Yeah, well, you know, the way she sings.
Well, like I said, it's not representative of the album as a whole. There's it like I said in my review, which you can read online, it's like an imagined halfway point between Lana Del Rey and Crystal Castles. Her talent lies in making sort of quite alternative and underground sounds work for her in a pop context. Yeah. It's why you're able to get songs like Amanka, which is sort of about Japanese girls and committing suicide and various weird things like that, sit next to one of its lead singles called You're Not the One, which sounds more like the clip that you just heard. It's because she's able to take the same building materials and make them work for her. She's in the artistic driving seat here. She's not being the model of, like, as you seem to suggest there, like, producers and people directing how to sound.
There will be an influence of that. If it's taken her this long to release her album, then there'll have been people pulling the strings behind it and say, yeah, well, these albums flopped. What can we do to enhance your work? You know.
No, they won't. She switched record labels.
But she'll still have those people.
If she was subservient, she would have agreed to whatever compromises that they'd proposed round about the time she was dropped after the singles flopped.
But why did the singles flop?
Well, frankly, they weren't very good.
Yeah, they didn't hook into anything, did they? You know, whereas this is definitely the word zeitgeist, you know.
I'm afraid I can't share your cynicism on this one.
No, don't get me wrong. I think it's very unzeitgeist. Like,
I think she's taken the lead here, I think, in comparison to a lot of other female solo artists
she's not straight down the line. You know, she's never going to be a Katy Perry.
Oh, absolutely not. We don't need another Katy Perry.
Exactly.
However, she is supporting Miley Cyrus on her Bangers European tour in May.
Which could be all the respect lost for her, if depending on how you think about Miley Cyrus. But it's quite
well,
a
if you
nice
choose
accolade.
To see Miley as somebody who's taking control of her own career, then someone like Sky Ferreira seems to be a perfect fit as a support slot, and hopefully it'll be a break for her.
Just hope she won't be joining in with any of the
twerking. I can't imagine Sky Ferreira twerking.
The antics.
All I'm saying is compare like the very ambiguous message of I blame myself with the provocative artwork and decide for yourself whether she's like making a commentary about feminism, about self-respect and things like that. There is, it seems to be sort of light and fluffy on the outside, but it's a wolf in sheep's clothing. Okay, enough about that. What have we got next, Lauren, before I take a large sip of wine?
Skrillex, who has released his long-awaited album called Recess. And without further ado, before Ed can launch into one, because I'm looking at him and he's a complete springed coil at the moment, we're going to play All Is Fair in Love and Bro Step.
Yet 1,000 miles from the Earth, a rocket would need this much power.
Take a look at the energy under power.
Mr. Electro Dropman turns house. That was Skrillex with All Is Fair in Lub and Brostep from his first official debut. Forget all the EPs and all that. Recess. All right, then. Go on, Ed. Let him have it.
Well...
That's a thunderous face.
Well, Skrillex has been knocking around for a while now. He's made several EPs, about half an hour in length, and he does what he does, and he has his fans. He's a divisive figure, and, you know, I would really, really love to be objective about this, but the truth about Recess is that it's evil. It is the sound of Western society bearing you its innermost soul, and all you see is a void of nothingness. It is reprehensible in the arena of electronic music. We've suffered quite enough damage with Pendulum and Calvin Harris in the last half decade or so, without someone like Skrillex making it even worse. He co-opts everything that is innovative about electronic music from both sides of the Atlantic and makes it into this horrible, macho, quote-unquote, bro-step thing that I just cannot understand why it has any appeal to anybody with a functioning set of ears.
Brostep was invented as a word because of its perhaps derogatory meanings towards music, but he's taken this and embraced it. This song is called All Is Fair in Love and Brostep. He knows exactly what it is, and he knows that he can make a lot of money from it, from, you know, those teenagers in big warehouses just bopping around.
Well, like I say, it may well be a generational thing, in which case I say, fair enough, it could be like punk, but... Punk was never this commercial, this mindless, this repetitive. Punk evolved very quickly from 1977 into new and interesting subgenres.
What is most exactly notably that offends post-punk. You, though?
It's just... It's the sound of monster cocktails. It's Jaeger bombs made audible. It's everything wrong with how we conduct our lives.
You know what? Just saying that makes me cringe. Well, I've listened to the album. You know,
I would actually love to get really angry and exercise about this, but the truth, it just makes me really sad. But we have to draw a line in the sand, because it is not okay for music to sound like this. I pride myself on my objectivity on this podcast, but I can't contain myself any longer. This kind of thing has to stop now. If you buy this song and if you like this, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Wow. I'm not going to go fully devil's advocate, because I've listened to the album and it's not the Skrillex who I fell in love with. No, that's not true.
It's a 46-minute long downloadable headache. Let's move on now.
Grumpy face Ed.
It was our first ever naught out of 10, basically. However, on a lighter note, we do have many more reviews on our website, laserguidedmelodies.co.uk. Lauren wrote a very good review of a new and, I think, unsigned band called The Correspondents.
Haven't heard of The Correspondents, where have you been?
Called Puppet Loosely Strung. And
a vein of chat pop, really. Electro swing, you know, just a beautiful mix of electro music and all these vintage sounds. You know, there's one guy singing / rapping and he's got his DJ putting all these amazing beats and synth effects on it to brilliant effect. It's great. I gave it an 8. And I'm sure you would too.
Yeah, I've yet to hear it, but anyway, that's what Lauren had to say about that. We'll be having reviews of The Hold Steady, Johnny Cash, Future Islands, Liars, Tokyo Police Club, and reviews of albums out this week include Black Lips, reviewed by Matt Langham, and something that warmed the cockles of my heart, a new album by Space. Hey. If you can remember that band that nobody else can remember from 90s Britpop, they're always too quirky to fit in, and it's so heartwarming that they're back. It gives us an excuse to play songs like Female of the Species all over again. That's what's on the website. Remember, look for us by typing laserguidedmelodies.co.uk into the address bar.
Next up, the anniversaries, or as Ed, who is the grand old age of 20, likes to call it.
20 mur is not an age.
The moment he likes to feel old. This month marks the 25th anniversary of De La Soul's universally praised and incredibly influential 3 Feet High and Rising, which you may recognise from its bright yellow, flowery cover. You'll have seen it before. You might not have heard it.
Yeah. Frankly, this, I can't believe I overlooked this for the last episode, because it turned 25 much sooner than I thought it did.
It sneaked in this week.
Did some poor research.
Oh.
we've got some clips for you. I know the magic number and Ghetto Thang.
Ghetto Thang.
Other deals, cause they've already been squished. Freeze the frame of our moves the same. Wish we can continue right behind the bush. You'll stay with me, I know this, but not because of all my earthly treasures, or regardless to the fact that I'm past the noose, but because
I know I love you.
Preaching is posthumous pleasure. Pleasure in preaching starts in the heart. Something that stimulates the music in a measure. Measure in the music raises three parts. Casually see, but don't do like.
Mary had a little lamb.
That's a fib. She had two twins, though, and one crib. Now she's only 14. What a start. But this effect is crowned common in these parts. Now life in this world can be such a bitch, and dreams are often torn and shattered and hard to stitch. Negative the attitude that runs the show when the stage is the G-H-E-T-T-O.
Which is the one to blame when bullets blow? Either Peter, Jane, or John or Joe. But Joe can't shoot a gun. He's always drunk, and Peter's pimping Jane, and John's a punk. Infested all the halls, also the brain. Daddy's broken.
That was I Know, The Magic Number, and Ghetto Thang.
Ghetto Thang.
You have just been listening to De La Soul's
3 Feet High and Rising.
Their album, which is 25 years old today. It came out in 1989, if you can't do your maths. How does that make you feel?
Well, I wasn't really conscious at the time. Somebody growing up in the wilds of Hertfordshire wasn't really aware of West Coast hip-hop, to be honest. But this album's very important for a variety of reasons. In terms of like how hip-hop albums were structured, this album is frequently credited with inventing the skit, which avid buyers of hip-hop fans will know as those sort of 30-second long comedy clips that sort of tie songs together. That didn't happen before this, so they invented them. And they frame this entire album as a kind of game show, don't they?
Yes.
Anyway.
Very nice.
Aside from that, it's important
happy.
Because...
It's happy music, that's what I got from it.
It was happy music, and it provided hip-hop with another crossover moment that I think it needed in the context of the late 80s, because gangster rap was like really beginning to hit hard with bands like NWA and Public Enemy, who were by then quite established. This album has no swear words on it, so therefore
that's
it was family friendly. Well, it basically meant that it could cross over, that kids could actually listen to it without feeling they were like breaking the rules or anything. And that's important, I think, because every genre needs its crossover moment ultimately. This is why punk evolved, because its message was too important to be sort of kept off radio, so bands evolved to make their sound more friendly without compromising their integrity. And De La Soul are doing the same thing. It's also a very, like we said, it's an upbeat album. It's got, like, the first song there, I Know, it's just got that amazing sort of little keyboard melody. It's just, it's poppy. The Magic Number samples, you know, the child song, you know, Three is a Magic Number by Bob Dorough. And then you've got Ghetto Thang as well, which shows that they could not only just do upbeat music, but also sort of songs about sort of violence and being trapped in the city and single parenthood, things like that. It shows they could be socially conscious too.
Hip-hop by Primary Colours.
It did have that kind of hippie feel to it.
What was the song about a crocodile? You know, I was walking along the water and I saw a crocodile.
Yeah, Tread Water, that's what it's called.
It's
just what they were really good at this particular moment.
Telling
in time.
A story, which is the best.
Yeah, and furthermore, just to add another thing to this, it's their approach to sampling that was quite different. Only the Beastie Boys were doing something even remotely similar with Paul's Boutique, which will also turn 25 this year. But De La Soul, they take songs from country, from soul, from disco, from pop, from funk. I mean, there's even some yodeling in that last song, Potholes in My Lawn.
Can you yodel?
I'm not going to try, if that's what you want.
No.
Nearly got me there. It's a great party album, and nobody has a bad word to say about it. I wrote a fuller article about this at our website, which you can peruse at your leisure. Also in the anniversary stakes, we do have a bit more of a low-key one. Mad Villain released his debut album, Mad Villainy, on March 23rd, 2004. This is one of like the underground successes of the noughties. We don't have any clips for you because, frankly, I haven't prepared well enough. But
you can imagine what it sounds like.
It's basically, structurally, it did something really interesting. Again, it's the hip-hop genre. But it rattled through 22 tracks in 46 minutes, which is quite an unusual thing to do, because your average hip-hop song, it's got about three or four verses, it's got the sampled chorus, and it's got an extended run-out. It might even last five and a half minutes. These, they just discarded an idea as soon as they were done with it.
The Fugazi of hip-hop.
Well, yeah, it is. It's like that. It pulled hip-hop back underground in the mid-noughties when it was getting a bit lazy as a genre. There weren't that many groundbreakers out there anymore. Yeah, at the time, it was it's a different and innovative approach, which ultimately didn't catch on because there aren't that many people doing this kind of thing anymore. The lyrics are quite abstract. There's very little in the way of choruses, and it's a very unfriendly sound for radio. It's the exact opposite of De La Soul.
So they're the only anniversaries we've got for you this week. Yeah. Next time
we only do two each time, otherwise we'd just be boring you.
Yeah,
more than we are.
Next
already.
Time we'll have reviews of albums by, amongst others, as usual, Kaiser Chiefs, Cloud Nothing, and Subtract. Of course, you should do this though. Check out all of our writings at our website, which is again laserguidedmelodies.co.uk. Type it where, Ed?
Into the address bar.
Or follow us on Twitter by searching for at LG Melodies. Right. On that note, bye-bye.
Bye.